Hey, how's your humping going? It is hump day. It's the last day of March. How was your March, everybody?
Long. It felt like a long, long month. But you know what? They've all felt like long months since the pandemic started. Now we're seeing the light, Rocco. We're literally seeing the light.
I'm seeing it. Feeling it.
Yeah, I know it. We're all getting contacted for vaccines and are coming for your appointment. Your name has been selected. I think was really jammed up.
Oh,
you know,
earlier in the week. Yeah.
It's still Wednesday, so we're midweek. We're in the bulge of the week, Julia.
Yes, the hump to the hump.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it wasn't 32 degrees out right now.
Oh my gosh. Okay, it is cold.
Yeah, that is cold, but listen, we're getting a 75 degree weekend this weekend.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, that is very.
We'll take it.
You know, we got a couple of birthdays today, Julia.
Who are we going to celebrate?
Well, we can say happy 84th birthday to Warren Beatty. Christopher Walken is 82 and Ewan McGregor is 50.
I saw that he was 50. There, go boys.
Turner Classic Movies had a whole bunch of Warren Beatty movies on demand if you guys have that app.
I tried watching Warren in the Roman Spring of Mrs. Stone.
Oh. He was so...
With his Italian accent.
Beautiful.
He is... The famous thing said about Warren Beatty is he's a man born with a Christmas wreath around his wiener. But using a more colorful word. Because he was quite... I mean, you know, director...
He's so beautiful.
Director, actor, writer, family man, former playboy. And then Christopher Walken. Okay, this is kind of a funny story. Will Ferrell said about that famous SNL skit about Cowbell.
Yes.
I think Walken was really mad at me. After Cowbell aired, Walken said people would bring cowbells during his Broadway curtain calls, and at lunch, a waiter asked him if he wanted more cowbell with his pasta, and he was always getting asked.
Well, I'm sure. I think that's so funny, though. I think, well, why not?
I know.
That one... took off.
You just never know what's going to make you shoot into the stratosphere.
You're right. And I mean, Fallon was breaking. Will Ferrell was almost breaking in that whole skit. It's one of the more famous skits. But anyway, I give a shout out to the Hermantown Hawks last night. You know, they played their JV team.
Because the people on varsity had COVID.
They were knocked out for COVID. There was one senior. The really great player is a 10th grader, but... You know, they were the favorites because they were defending state champ. They're like 19-1 was their record.
How'd they do?
Well, the JV, I mean, and it's a 9th grade goalie and a 10th grade goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And Dodge County, which is next to Rochester. I had to talk to the sports guys next door. They won, like, it was like 7-3 or whatever.
7-1, I'm looking at it.
7-1. The JV team, really, they skated their butt off, and they've got a sophomore on Hermantown that's like Mr. Hockey. He's like one of the best skaters in the state. But there's, you know, boys and girls high school hockey and basketball
going on,
which apparently is causing a lot of, you know, just whoa.
There's a lot of sports. A
lot of sports, but that team really played their butt off. And then I asked the guys why Hill Murray couldn't play their JV team. You know, because they had COVID, they were in the same situation.
What did they say?
Well, I guess Hill Murray is on spring break this week. So people are out of town.
Oh, people were out of town and not
they
prepared.
They didn't know, you know, that this was going to happen. So they didn't have enough players.
How disappointing.
And then the Minnesota Hockey League didn't let Wayzata Set or Minnetonka, whoever they're going to play. Mind you, I got all this from Score.
Well, because I have an update, too.
They offered to play the game on Thursday, which they could have made work, and the high school hockey league said no. So
probably through
anyway. So they had to forfeit.
Okay,
they had to forfeit.
But, thank you for that update. Well, the bigger on a bigger level, the NFL update. There's news that we're going to have 17 regular season games up from one, which is 16. And the big news is the Super Bowl is being moved to President's Day weekend. So when everyone has wanted to have the holiday off after the Super Bowl, you will now, if you're one of those companies, you know, we've never had enough. But people
But that's always been the Grammys has been there, like the night before the... It's,
well, the Grammys moved themselves. Everyone took off everyone's dates.
I wanted to ask Kathy Connell about getting bigfooted by Grammys, but she wouldn't have she would have been politically correct or whatever.
When we were talking about the Screen Awards.
Because they their award season, I mean, that should have happened a month ago already. Right. And they went forward.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think anyone cares about the Grammys. Knocking them off. If it's that weekend or something. The Super Bowl, I think, doesn't care.
I know, but why would they move it?
Because they want to have it on a holiday weekend. They're adding a game.
Oh.
They're adding a game. The season is longer. They upped their regular season from 16 games to 17 games. So they have one more week. So they're pushing it all back. And they're getting it on the weekend that they want it, which is a holiday weekend. So more people can travel. More people can go to the Super Bowl. More people can hang out and watch the TV show.
All right. Well, listen, let's we really have a big story to get into. We're kind of obsessed. We're popping our popcorn. And if we could sip some wine while we could tell the story, we would. But it's our story we can't get enough of. Andy Cohen is probably so happy that he's on a spring break vacation as Jen Shah got arrested while in Vail.
Filming
The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season two. So all of the morning shows covered it. And if the cameras were rolling when Jen Shah was arrested,
they will air it.
Nothing in Housewives history will ever compare. Let me just show everybody who Jen Shah is in case you didn't watch Salt Lake City.
Okay, so this we've been obsessed with this. Yeah. I've been obsessed with this since yesterday.
Let's listen to this is from GMA.
This morning, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star Jennifer Shah under arrest. She's facing up to 50 years in jail after being accused of defrauding hundreds of victims in an alleged massive telemarketing scam. TMZ capturing the housewife in handcuffs, escorted by federal agents.
In this town, I'm Queen Bee and MVP.
Shah, with her over-the-top personality, wants a life of luxury on the show, jetting off on lavish shopping sprees.
Shawmazing. Shut up.
And throwing extravagant parties like this one, which reportedly cost $80,000. She's now being federally charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud and money laundering. Authorities alleging that for nearly 10 years, she pushed so-called business opportunities on vulnerable, often elderly working class people, only to steal their money. Authorities also alleging she sold lists of potential victims' personal information for them to be repeatedly scammed. During a recent reunion special for the show, Housewives executive producer Andy Cohen asking her how she made her money.
We have a platform that helps people acquire customers. So when you're shopping online or on the internet and something pops, we have the algorithm behind why you're getting served that ad.
Stuart Smith, one of Shah's assistants, was also arrested. He's facing the same charges as an alleged co-conspirator.
So, okay, so here's the intel, all right, from Salt Lake City, from a news station.
Yes.
Okay, agents went to Jen Shah's house first.
To arrest her. Okay.
Coach Shah called Jen to tell her she was going to be arrested, and she's in Vail filming
Season 2 of Real Housewives.
A girls' trip to Vegas. Agents, and the women were in a van going to shoot, and they were probably filming because they always do the car adventures.
Right.
And Whitney, Heather, Lisa, and Jen were all in the van, and the federal agents stopped the van
on the road.
And wherever they were in Vail, you know how little Vail is, and searched it. And she had just finished Glam, and they were recording. So, I mean, let's hope that they have all this. But she was handcuffed, and she had on like thigh high leopard boots, and her hair was all in braids, and she had a pretty faux or real fur coat on, and then you know she looked like she was doing, you know, a spring little getaway in Vail, and that they arrested her, and off.
This is such a dumb one. I mean, she has been flaunting herself.
Because she was priming on reality TV.
She was flaunting herself. We saw the big house that they live in Salt Lake City. It's a 9,400 square foot home.
It's the biggest house of all the ladies.
Yeah. And she says on a promotional video once, you know, I'm so-and-so, I'm holding the Salt Lake Diamond or whatever they hold in Salt Lake, the snowball.
Uh-huh.
I probably spend $50,000 a month. She talks about
like
how
Erica Jane,
yes,
bragging about $50,000 a month on glam, and her and husband was defrauding
and
people.
And her two jets that she had, and she has four people on her glam squad. And and Andy said, "What do they do for you besides, you know, pick out your clothes and drive you around?" And she's like, "Well, you know, but her businesses are JXA Fashion, Shaw Beauty, Shaw Lashes. I think those were all." Newer, the JXA Fashion was probably long because she's been doing this since 2012. Oh, and she has everything in shell companies. She's has everything buried. And today, when they were trying to arraign her, the fans flooded the lines. So she couldn't even get on Zoom to be arraigned by the New York U.S. District Judge. Mm-hmm. Yes. So she, 253 people dialed into the virtual court conference call, and the system couldn't accommodate the participants. So
when you read the statement from the district attorney for Southern District of New York, it is scathing. Here, Jennifer Shaw, who portrays herself as a wealthy and successful business person on reality television, and then named the other guy, generated and sold lead lists as innocent individuals for other members of their scheme to repeatedly scam. They called it a coordinated effort to traffic in lists of potential victims. And they said they flaunted their lavish lifestyle to the public as a symbol of success. In reality, they built their opulent lifestyle at the expense of vulnerable, often elderly working class people, is alleged. Disturbingly, they had these leads that were bought and sold. And anyway, they said as a result, their new reality may very well turn out different than they expected.
As a result.
And if Mary Cosby thought that hospital smell was bad, wait till she gets a whole jail smell.
Okay, so I did a little digging into Coach Shaw, her husband. Okay, we're talking about Jen Shaw.
20 years.
Yes, and so here's the deal. He was a football player at the University of Utah. He got hurt in his senior year, but he was always in love with football. But he's also very educated, Lori. He's an attorney. He he's been an attorney for 12 years. He is a commercial litigator and trial attorney.
What's your point?
But I'm just saying he's very educated and legal. I'm wondering, she's the only one indicted. Did she just hide everything from her husband?
Well, or she and the other guy that was arrested, this was their business. And it would be like when you and I ran our nipple business, our husbands were not involved whatsoever.
Right.
We could have been setting up. You know, I mean, we could have been doing something with our company and neither one of them would have asked us. So I just think that...
You think it's very separated, so he's not involved at all.
I don't think so. Otherwise, he would have been arrested.
Well, right.
And his name isn't on anything.
No.
And he's, as we know from the show, he's always gone. And he's the only one that...
He's a special teams coordinator for the University
of
Utah. I
like him so much.
I know, football team, and he loves football. That's his passion, is football. Well, here's something Heather Gray said. Now, Heather was the one that everyone told me I look like. I wish we had a picture of her right now.
Not everyone. One person becomes everyone.
Well, you know, I'm drama.
Okay.
Okay, so here was her response after Andy Cohn asked Jen Shaw, like, how do you make your money?
Because on her bio on the Bravo page,
right,
it says she's the CEO of three marketing companies.
Right. Right. So
he's the CEO.
Well, because she spent so much more and was way more extravagant than any of the housewives.
The first birthday party that we met her at, that was an $80,000 birthday party.
In her house.
So right there, if she was on the radar of the feds, there it is, the big red flag.
Right. Ta-da. Mm-hmm. But so Heather Gray.
Gay.
Oh, it is gay.
Yeah.
Oh, Heather Gay. Yeah, she said, you know, I try to be a really smart person, like a fairly smart person, but I still don't get it how she makes her money.
She's scamming people. Mm-hmm. It's like Erica Jane and Tom Girardi.
Look at this. And Teresa. All right. So Erica Jane and Tom Girardi were Real Housewives of Beverly Hills scamming. Right.
Scamming victims of airplane crashes and
families
and survivors of natural gas explosions.
And then you have the Giudices.
Giudices. He was scamming, I don't know, on mortgages or right. I don't know. He was doing something
so
in the
housing.
That's
the third franchise for Real Housewives.
But we have never had a housewife arrested while filming. So
I'm very excited.
Jen is catapulting to the top, but I'm sure that she should be very nervous.
Oh, I know, but I'm just thinking from a drama standpoint, season two is going to be so good of Real Housewives, because just to watch the fallout of this and the conversations that are going to happen after this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. And then
the worst part, she wasn't a likable person either. So there's nothing that you really feel empathy towards her.
She was the biggest biatch on the show, bar none. Not the nicest person. She was the biggest beyond.
So there's no empathy.
To everybody. Mm-mm. To absolutely everybody. Right. I think Meredith Marks's son.
Oh, yeah.
He must be very happy.
Oh, he couldn't stand her. Yeah. What was his name?
I don't know. I'm going to show Jen again just so people know. And you
if
know,
you're driving in your car, just look out the window. Yeah. There's a picture of Jen flashing by.
There you go. But anyway, people are just like going crazy, wondering, you know, what will Bravo, NBC, you know, use as far as footage. And I'm going to say that they're going to ask all the women in the confessionals exactly how they felt about that moment.
I can't wait for it.
Yeah. And I know that the travel is a shallow reason to watch The Housewives, but I always personally enjoy when they pack up and head out on the road. I enjoy the prep ahead of time, what clothes they're going to bring. Some people, I can't believe how they pack. You know, like they just, they're like you. They just throw everything willy-nilly. No, but just shoes and dresses and everything is just basically about. And then other people, you know, Lisa Vanderpump.
But here they are from Salt Lake City going on a trip to Vail.
Fun. Mm-hmm. And we know they ski.
Yep.
So anyway, we'll have our popcorn ready. And
we're ready for season two.
Andy's probably glad and sad that
he's
missing all of this.
I think so, too. Yeah.
All right, listen, when we come back, we're going to talk with Patrick Richardson, the laundry evangelist. He's got great big news to share with us. We'll be right back. Name that band, Julia.
Men at Work.
Dire Straits.
Oh, is it Dire
Straits? Dire Straits. Yeah, we're playing
Men
Dirty
at Work.
We're playing kind of the same era that they were both popular. We're playing Dirty Laundry because Patrick Richardson is joining us, and people who've listened to our show for a long time, they've heard Patrick be on our show before, but now he is exploding in the best possible way, and Patrick is joining us. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you?
We're so good. Did you hear us play Dirty Laundry?
I missed it.
Okay.
So today's the big day.
Today's the big day. Your book is out, Laundry Love, Finding Joy in a Common Chore. Your new show, The Laundry Guy, is on Discovery Plus. It starts today, so people have probably already watched it. And we got to know you, you know, through Mona Williams, your vintage shop, and you dressed us one year. And I remember when you first started doing the laundry camps. Julie came in, she goes, we got to talk to Patrick about his laundry camp. And I said, how in the world is laundry going to be fun and exciting?
Oh.
And the first time you came in, you made it fun and exciting. So the rest of the world is catching on.
Well, thanks. Yeah, everybody's kind of, you know, loving laundry. And and it's fun. There's so many people, and I hate to use this because it's really passe, but you know, people that are like in the closet about being in love with laundry.
Yeah.
You know, they don't like to tell other people because they feel so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, they love it. And it's, you know, it's become this thing. And I think that, you know, maybe because we were trapped at home, we really kind of started enjoying our house.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that could be part of it. But it's just become fun. And, you know, now there's my book and my TV show and just, it's fun for me because all the people who do love laundry are coming to find me.
Right.
We couldn't happen to a better person. Tell us, we want to hear both, the TV show and the book, but what can people expect from the book?
So the book is, it's like, I always say it's like a love language, it's a love letter to all the women in my life. Because it's all the women who kind of inspired me, my granny, my mom, my stepmother, my next door neighbor, Ruby, who was very sophisticated, my granny's best friend, my professors at the University of Kentucky, all those people, you know, that influenced my love of laundry. And so, you know, they're all kind of in there. And then it's also practical tips. Like, it is the real example of, like, how to do your laundry. It'll take you through sorting and washing and drying and stain removal. And, you know, there's even some recipes in the back that are food worth the stain.
Oh,
you know,
I
hope
it.
It's a really fun read.
Yeah.
Like, because I know that some people think laundry is really boring and dull and don't love it as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted it to be fun, you know, and I tried to make it like as like sort of fun as I possibly could, but still give you all the information. So,
well, I mean,
if you want it to be fun, you can read the stories. If you just want the information, just go straight to the, you know, and learn how to do it.
It is kind of, it is incredible that you've turned this cleaning obsession, passion into a profession, and that you're elevating the lowly art of washing clothes to something that people are really, I mean, that like Discovery Plus, we would like you to be, have this show called The Laundry Guy. Tell us how that happened.
So if one of the producers came to laundry camp with some of her friends.
Wow.
And she asked me if I'd do a show. It's, you know, 3 years in the making.
Wow.
And, okay. So it's really fun, and it's so good. I got to be honest with you. The show is so good.
How many episodes? Because tell us. I'm
six.
Sorry.
Okay. There's six episodes, and what it is it's like each episode has two different stories of people who have some cherished object, you know, mm-hmm. that's very important to them, and it's stained. There's a wedding dress that's been through a fire. I mean, these are not like you know, I got a little olive oil on it.
Yeah, these are serious.
And we talk about the item and then go through the process of bringing it back. So you get to see the how as well. So, I mean, you really do kind of learn from it. But then, you know, it's also just fun.
I cannot wait. I cannot. This might make us. Well, I went and did the look on Discovery Plus, you know, the what for. Mm-hmm. Because it's a 7-day free trial, first of all. And after that, it's $4.99 a month for the minimum level of it.
Yeah. But the Discovery Plus has so many channels.
Yes, it does.
That is
good.
It is really good.
So
I'm obsessed with Rock the Block right now.
All right. Gotta
Julia doesn't know what that one is.
I don't.
Is that the one about the Young Rock Johnson?
No, it's about it's four different people who, like Nate Berkus is
yes.
on it. It's four different groups of designers who renovate houses.
Yes.
And each week they do a different room. It's so good.
All right. Well, people are going to be obsessed with The Laundry Guy because you really do make laundry fun. I don't know what it is about you that makes it so much fun, but.
In the book is Laundry Love, Finding Joy.
In a Common Chore.
In a common chore. Yeah.
Which is just, this is so exciting because didn't your book get pushed back a year because of COVID?
It did. Yeah. It came out last year. But, you know, I mean, talk about luck of timing.
It came out
literally a day before the show.
No kidding.
Okay. I mean, you know.
What's been the latest hardest stain for you to get out of something? What's been the big challenge this week?
The latest hardest. I just had somebody, you know, the thing that usually upsets me the most is when fabric is really fragile. Because, like, if you have something that's brand new and it's got, like, a really rough stain, I can get it out.
Mm-hmm.
But when something's 130 or 140 years old, and the fabric is a little more delicate.
Right.
It gets a little more challenging because, you know, I don't want to damage the fabric because, you know, oh, here, I got the stain out of your quilt, but now it has a giant hole in it.
Right.
You know, doesn't really work. So that's kind of my most challenging stain.
How did you get fixated on laundry, though? I mean, I assume that's in your book.
It is. Okay. I love clothes. I actually got a washing machine for Christmas when I turned 3. So I've had a long time love affair with laundry, but you know, I loved clothes. I loved clothes as a little kid.
Yeah.
And you know, and the thing is, I also wanted to wear them, you know, cause it's no fun to have great clothes if you look at them in your closet, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I think, wasn't it Sarah Jessica Parker, who said, I like my money where I can see it right in my closet.
Right.
I like my money where I can see it, which is right on my back.
Right.
You know, I want to wear my tuxedo jacket with jeans and a t-shirt, you mm-hmm. know? It's more fun that way, you know?
Right.
Like, I mean, you have those great dresses that you wear to the SAG Awards. Well, wouldn't it be really fun if you could wear those to Cub?
I think we might one day.
I think you should.
I feel like that's right around the corner. It's a goal.
Patrick, I want to ask you I think you need to weigh in on how do you feel about us tossing in laundry pods to clean our clothes?
There's way too much detergent in a pod. There's enough detergent in one pod to do 5 loads of laundry.
Wow.
And so it just doesn't rinse out.
Okay.
I know they're easy, but you know what? A tiny little tablespoon of detergent's easy too, and it rinses out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I'm also on laundryevangelist.com, your website, where you mm-hmm. can buy your laundry products and things like that. But the how-to videos are so awesome.
They are cute.
How to iron a shirt, how to do this, how to do that. I mean, you really have covered all the bases because people can get the great product, and it is different because we've used your product. And mm-hmm. the great tip, of course, instead of using dryer sheets, which add so much product and are so bad for your clothes, using aluminum foil.
Yeah.
And rolling it up in a ball.
Aluminum foil, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I've got stains for you.
Okay, hit me.
I can't. I mean, I want to come see you. I've got to
Come on.
Okay, well, here's one.
When are you coming?
I will figure it out. Here's one. If you're in your towels, if you get a rust stain on a white towel.
If it's really rust, oftentimes those aren't rust. It's something like sugary that went in the dryer and it caramelized.
Okay.
That's usually what actually, you think it's a rust stain, but it's actually just a cooked in sugar stain. That'll come out with a hit of oxygen bleach and some soap. If it truly is rust, the easiest way to do it is to squeeze a little lemon on it and put it in the sun. The citric acid is, I think it's called phytoactive. It's actually activated in sunlight.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's all you have to do. It's super simple.
Okay, I feel like a lot of people are going to be washing like comforters this weekend to line dry because it's going to be nice this weekend.
Let's hope.
Do you have mm-hmm. any tips for washing down comforters and just comforters?
Yes.
Okay.
It's best if you can use a front-loading washer because down floats.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a front-loading washer, take a bottle of wine and go to the neighbors.
Okay.
All right. Wash it with a tiny bit of soap.
Okay.
It really does matter. You need to use as little as possible, and it's soap is better than detergent if you have it.
Okay. Is that would Wash be like your laundress soap that we have?
Yeah, that's what the soap that I sell, yeah.
Okay.
But there are others. You can get it at the co-op, too.
Okay.
Or REI also has it.
Okay.
But use just a little bit, wash it. But then here's the big trick. If it's your comforter and it's covered in cotton,
mm-hmm.
throw it in the dryer with 3 tennis balls, and that will beat the loft back into it and dry it. If you want to line dry it, which mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Hang it outside, let it dry, and then throw it in the dryer for about 10 minutes.
With the tennis balls?
On air fluff with tennis balls to beat the loft back in.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been using like old white tennis shoes. But it's
that will also work. Tennis balls are a little better because they're actually active.
Okay. They're moving.
But old tennis shoes do work. They just, they're gravity rather than being active.
I hate the clunking of a tennis shoe, and I don't like the idea of a shoe being on my comforter. At all.
Get some tennis balls.
Yeah.
Okay. Tennis balls. Oh, no. I love this. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Good. Yeah. I never knew that lifting the loft back in your down. I was unaware of that phrase. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. This is, we're just, okay. So the book just came out today. You can get it at your store, Mona Williams, at the Mall of America. You can get it at local bookstores. You can get it online. Laundry Love, Finding Joy in a Common Chore. Discovery Plus. Today,
The Laundry Evangelist
starts. And
are you doing laundry camps anymore? Will you still do those?
I'm waiting till I can have enough people in.
Got
soon,
it. Oh, that's soon. Right. That's right. Of course.
Mm-hmm. And so, Patrick, mm-hmm. congratulations to you. This is just so fun.
I do. I have to read one tiny thing for my book.
Okay, do it.
Patrick wishes to thank, lots of people, blah, blah, blah. And then Patrick has been kind enough, or people have been kind enough to cover me in the media, blah, 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 blah. Lori Bargini and Julia Cobbs.
I see
blah, blah,
it.
Blah, blah,
I
blah,
see
blah.
It.
So I sent it to you as a text.
You
so
just
you all are
did.
In my book because you've been so important to me, and I just appreciate you so much.
That makes us want to cry.
That's really that's our first book dedication, Patrick.
Well, there you are.
There you are.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank
you.
It's perfect from the laundry guy / laundry evangelist that you would say so. So thank you very much. We look forward to reading the book, Laundry Love, and watching The Laundry Evangelist on HGTV Discovery Plus.
And we've got two books that are going to be autographed by Patrick to give away. So give us a buzz at 651-641-1071. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Can't wait to watch the show.
All right, listen, we come back. I've got some highlights from Sharon Stone's memoir. Even though I haven't read the book, I do have a degree in Sharon Stone. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. It was so fun talking to the laundry evangelist. Someone described him as Marie Kondo meets Queer Eye, the life-changing magic of laundry.
Oh.
Yeah. And he does have a website, right, that we can go to and kind of follow
along. Laundry Evangelist.
I just sent it to my wife. I'm like, you would like this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fantastic.
It's just laundryevangelist.com.
Yeah. Yes. I looked at his tip the other day about how to wash pillows.
And?
Well, he tells you how to do it, just like he told us how to wash the comforters, comforters and use the tennis balls to get loft back in our feathers.
And the other one is if you have athletic wear or something that have just built-in smells to them, you know, like if your kids and their gym mates, you know, if you're hockey players or something, you know, because the kids who wear the stuff over and over,
I'm intimately acquainted with the smell.
Vodka blocks out
stuff,
vodka gets the stink out. You can use it there and you can also use it in your flowers. Remember a little cap of vodka in your flowers.
I'm
it makes
not
them
wasting my vodka on my
makes
flowers.
Your flowers last longer.
All the cheap stuff.
Yeah,
use it on their flowers.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So Sharon Stone, you know, her memoir came out yesterday, the same day as Loving Laundry, and it's called The Beauty of Living Twice. Sharon Stone, and of course, I've not read it yet, but there have been. I mean, she's gotten a ton of press, and rightly so, because she is legendary. And
just ask Lori.
Yeah, but she is.
And she is, of
course.
She's
never written, she's written one other book, but it isn't a book about her. It's not autobiographical memoir at all. This story, before I get to another story, but I do really like her Hollywood stories that are coming out, some with names, some without names.
Right.
The story that's dominating headlines today is that Sharon Stone, in her memoir, The Beauty of Living Twice, tells the story, because she executive produced this movie, The Quick and the Dead.
Right.
The Western.
Oh, I remember that.
And she paid Leonardo DiCaprio's salary because the studio didn't want to hire him. So the movie was 1995. Rocco, do you remember seeing this movie?
I remember seeing it, yeah. Because it was kind of a female lead in a Western.
Unusual. Yeah, and she looked amazing in her chaps and the leather. And she was just a serious badass. But she said, Leonardo DiCaprio plays this freewheeling character named the Kid, who befriends her character after she moves to this rural town in the Old West. And she was also a co-producer on the movie. And she and the producers auditioned so many teens to play the Kid.
Okay.
And she said, and this kid named Leonardo DiCaprio was the only one who nailed the audition, in my opinion, because he was the only one who came in and cried. Begging his father to love him as he died in the scene. And that was the audition scene.
Sure.
And Leo was the only one who cried. And Sharon writes, TriStar Pictures, the studio that produced the movie, they didn't want to hire him because he was just starting in his career, and he'd done some TV things, and he'd been in, you know, What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
But, sure.
They said, the studio said, why an unknown, Sharon? Why are you always shooting yourself in the foot? And she said, the studio told me if I wanted him so much, I could pay him out of my own salary. So I did.
Wow.
So that explains why Sharon Stone is such good buddies with Leonardo DiCaprio. And he always shows up at her AMFAR benefits.
To raise money for AIDS.
That's right. But, like, he, in a way, owes her a career because he was trying to bridge playing kids to being a teenager. So that's, like, a totally amazing story that she tells us. And that is everywhere today. Mm-hmm. So if you ever wondered why Sharon Stone, or you wondered if they were good friends...
Yes, the answer is yes. Leonardo DiCaprio and Sharon Stone.
He adores her.
Mm-hmm. Gene Hackman was also in that movie. Do you remember seeing it? Did you like it?
Oh, yeah. I remember going to it, but I don't ever remember, you know, like anything else about it, except that I thought she looked amazing. And it probably did have something to do with the blonde chaps that I bought.
To go with Casey's duster.
No. This was before Casey when I got a motorcycle for my second divorce. Mm-hmm. And I went to Sturgis. Mm-hmm. And it would have been 1996.
That late, Lori? It was...
Yeah, this was second divorce.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Not the first divorce.
Because I was
going to
say, okay.
And I went to Sturgis, Rocco, and I saw these chaps that basically made me think of Sharon Stone in this movie. And they were my summer chaps. And then I had a pair of Harley heavier black ones. But they
Do
were
you
like,
still have them?
Oh, of course. Of course. Anyway, we posted Sharon. She's on the cover of some magazine, looking like just a beautiful snack and a half.
She does look like a snack.
But here's what Jezebel said about writer who reviewed her book. He writes, Sharon Stone isn't like other people, and she reminds us several times throughout her new memoir of that. And, you know, so I like that about that. But he said, she is an icon of Hollywood glamour, clear subversion of the dumb blonde myth. As soon as she opens her mouth, her existence is bald-faced and like how unusual everything that happened to her. But he said, the thing is that in a 246-page book, there's even more that happens. But the way she tells the story is kind of all over the place. Like he writes, you know... She writes about abuse, and she writes about being struck by lightning and being trained as a pickpocket and would have been a potential heir to an oil fortune were it not for her grandmother's inability to inherit her grandfather's wealth when he died. She was a prolific sleepwalker. Her dead grandmother visited her when she was in the hospital after her brain hemorrhage. Her uncle died by suicide. Her prom date was... killed
just
in a drunk driving.
Wow.
She's lifelong friends with Grace Jones. She once ended up sitting on Count Basie's piano bench listening to him play during a concert she attended. She had a double mastectomy and her surgeon gave her a full breast size, or cup size bigger. And but he just said she is aware of what an eccentric, unusual person, but she's arranged her memoir just so people know. It prioritizes theme over being told in a linear way.
Okay.
So
it's like having a conversation with me.
Like all the abuse that's happened to her in her life, she puts it all in one chapter.
Okay.
Her grandfather.
All right.
You know, different things like that. So this person said, this is not a book about how Sharon from Pena, Pennsylvania, became a global icon, but how... her brain hemorrhage has transformed her life and her perception of the world.
Got it.
So, just that was the thing, that it doesn't read like a linear biography, that she's putting these themes together and the brain hemorrhage.
It sounds good, though.
I know.
It totally sounds good.
Anyway, but he said you might need a background in Sharon Stone to read Sharon Stone's story of Sharon Stone. So just letting you guys know that.
All right.